I'm Pam Jones in the WGN newsroom, rather, ready to join the conversation live. I'm so excited about this Botox rink. Whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The Frank Fontana Show.
I'm glad you're serious about this, Pam, because I'm a little nervous. I'm going to be honest with you.
Really?
No.
You've had shots before.
I've had shots before. It's been a while since I've gotten my face stuck with needles, but I'm excited about it.
I would be very excited. I'm coming down to look.
Come down. Maybe he has a couple of extra needles that can stick
maybe
around.
So. Okay.
All right. So, as you heard, Pam kind of led into it. Joining me in studio is Dr. Stephen Sherba. He is a renowned plastic surgeon from MyChicagoPlasticSurgeons.com. You go to the website, you check him out. Chicago Aesthetic Surgery Institute, premier plastic surgeon. They offer an array of treatments for face, body, and breast. Dr. Sherba's been here before on the show, and he's here again. Doc, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me back.
Before we get into the Botox, which I know there's a lot of people watching and listening, and you can go to Facebook right now if you want to see the first ever live Botox injection on radio here in WGN Radio. It's going to happen. You can see what it's like if you've been thinking about it, debating whether you should get it. Is it safe? Is it not safe? We'll get there in a second. But you could watch what it's like right here on the show. But first, I want to talk about a huge uptick in surgeries for you, Doc, and across the country, why some men are asking for breast reduction surgery. And it's huge. There's been let's see here. Dave pulled up a statistics that 36% of men are jumping into these surgeries. Since 2000, it's increased. 27,760 men underwent breast reduction surgery, according to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. Are you seeing a lot of this in your office, Doc?
We do. We probably see 2 to 3 a month. We feel like it's one of those things that, you know, on males who don't come into a plastic surgeon's office as frequently as women, it's one of the most commonly things people ask for.
Yeah, and what are the reasons why? Like, what are some of the top reasons why?
I think that the increase is just with comfort level. I think people are becoming more comfortable asking for things to be revised, corrected on parts of their body that bother them. And in men, you know, certain things do bother you. And
sure,
when you're young, sometimes breast tissue grows and doesn't go away normally. Everyone feels a little bit of a gynecomastia or a little bit of growth of the breast area as you're hitting adolescent years, but it's mostly gone by the age 18. There's a fraction of patients that it doesn't go away for. And then as we get older, our hormone levels change. Our testosterone goes down, and therefore the estrogen component is a little bit higher, and then male breasts can start to grow. However, there is a component that's related to just weight gain, and so these people with multiple reasons start enlarging in the breast area.
Sure.
And if it bothers you, my opinion is fix it. Life is short. Enjoy. You should feel comfortable in your body.
I agree with that 100%. One secret, maybe it's not so secret, contributor that I've been reading about is the uptick in cannabis use because it's being legalized everywhere and the link to gynecomastia with cannabis. Is this true? Am I reading this right?
Absolutely. There's medications and drugs that do increase the possibility of enlargement of the breast area. Marijuana, alcohol, more serious things like heroin, and obviously medications like Valium, spironolactone, all increase the chance of...
How? Why? Like in the non-so-technical medical terms.
I think what it does is it basically elevates the component of hormones that gives them the milieu, the actual environment, to allow breast tissue to grow. It just changes the balance ever so slightly.
Yeah. And is there a natural way to do it without surgery that you've heard of?
You know, I have heard and read a few medications that do decrease the size of your breast. There's also some herbal supplements that seem to do that. However, I think good diet and exercise, avoiding certain foods, anything that has a natural estrogen component in it, soy-based products, you can avoid and see if that will help you.
Yeah. So even as a surgeon, you recommend try to lose weight first.
Oh, I cannot stress enough in both private and professional practice, you should always focus on diet and exercise. It is your first line medication, truly. Exercise is a medication. The food you eat is a medication. If you think of it that way, take your medications and you'll be healthy and happy.
Yeah. Who was it who coined that back in Greek mythology? Was it, I forgot who it was,
Oh, Socrates?
Yes,
yes,
Socrates.
With,
food is medicine.
Exercise, and one must exercise. I can't remember who did food is medicine, but I know that even in ancient Greek times, there was a focus on diet and exercise.
Brilliant back then. You had an interesting story we talked about off air because you brought somebody with you. Jeanine Paulus is here.
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And you are the doc's office manager and certified, what is it again? You gave me the whole list here of things that you're great at.
I am a certified aesthetic nurse specialist. I'm a nurse, registered nurse, and I do the non-surgical procedures in our clinic.
Like the Botox and,
Botox and fillers. And plus energy devices. We have quite a few energy devices in our practice, from laser to radio frequency, ultrasound, other treatment modalities to help contour and correct small deficits in the skins.
And most importantly, you are the contributing factor as to why this doctor is sitting here today as one of the most renowned plastic surgeons in Chicago, correct? She's modest. Yeah, I am, actually. So why don't you quickly tell that story? We have a few minutes before break, and then we're going to get right into our Botox session here and our discussion on liposuction.
Well, Steve and I go back many, many years. I'm not going to say exactly how many. I'll give my age away.
A few.
And we belong to some organizations together, so specifically Polish Scouting. And so years ago, when I was a brand new nurse and he was about 10 or 11 years old, we were on camp together. I was a camp nurse and he was a scout. And he had an injury on camp, which either he had to stay immobilized so that the injury to his knee wouldn't get worse, or he had to go home. And of course, his friends were on camp and he wanted to stay, so he stayed with me as my assistant in the, quote, sick room. And so what people don't know about Steve is he's an artist. He draws and he sculpts and he's quite talented. So when he was a little boy, 10 years old, he said that when he grows up, he wants to help people, but he wants to be an artist. So I told him to be a plastic surgeon. And he held on to that all these years, and he's actually a fabulous plastic surgeon, not just because I know him, but he truly is.
Because he's an artist first.
Yeah, I think so.
That's okay, brilliant. I am blushing.
Okay, you are blushing. You're legitimately blushing. And you could, I did a 6 and 60 interview bit, which is one of my online content pieces, and we had some really great info that came out from the doc. And I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you do. You know he's also a closet rock star, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he almost rather be on stage rocking it out than, doing plastic surgery.
He's very talented. He's really a phenomenal surgeon, but he's very talented.
Yeah.
And he's not just because we're friends for, forever, but he's really a great guy. He's a very good man.
What's the website that we can find both of you at?
www.cassie.nd.com. So it's Chicago Aesthetic Surgery Institute -neoderma.com.
Right now, I have Dr. Steven Sherbin in studio. He's dotting up my face. If you want to go to Facebook right now, follow me, Fontana, Frank Fontana Creative. You can see the live Botox injection. Dr. Sherbin standing over me with some interesting goggles on, and he's about to do. What are you doing right now, Doc?
Frank, what I'm doing is I'm watching you smile, and okay. I'm also looking where your veins are to try to minimize any bleeding and bruising that may come with the procedure.
Can you? That would be helpful.
Really hard.
Smile.
Smile. Okay. Great. Okay. All right. I'm going to go to the other side.
And Jeanine, while Doc's doing this, why don't you explain exactly what Botox is, if you don't mind?
It is a drug that sort of immobilizes or temporarily paralyzes the muscle.
Okay.
We don't inject so much that you can't move at all, but it does definitely minimize, and it helps decrease the appearance of facial wrinkles and lines.
I will say the years ago when I've gotten it, I did love the look.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it, to just, it stiffens it up and you don't have the wrinkles, but I feel like it adds this like glow.
It does.
Mm-hmm. It does, right?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, I think for a number of reasons.
The skin starts to behave a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's been shown to help in multiple situations, including sweating, including scar formation. So there's a number of things that are happening that we don't fully understand yet, but there's multiple uses for Botox.
Sure. Okay. I've heard it being injected under armpits for people with excessive sweating. I think it's a great thing. I know people can say, oh, it's so vain. What are you going to do this for? Listen, I'm in TV. I'm in radio. I got to look good.
Frank, you're a good-looking guy.
Why, thank you.
Let's preserve that.
Well, I appreciate it. Listen, that's enough said, Doc. So how does this work? You marked my face already. You numbed it. Now we're about to do some injections.
That's right. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to put on my enlarging lenses, and I'm going to look and I'm going to inject in the areas that we had marked ahead of time, fully trying to avoid bigger blood vessels that may be there while going directly into the muscle.
Okay.
And like Janine was talking about, this medication, what it does is it basically interrupts the where the nerve connects to the muscle. And there's a chemical called acetylcholine that connects that nerve to the muscle. And if you can block the release of that chemical, acetylcholine, the muscle will weaken and not work as hard. And therefore, you won't wrinkle as much. And that is what Botox does.
Can you do it forever?
You can do it forever.
So, I mean, you can technically look phenomenal for the next 20 years. And, I mean, yes, you will age around it, but...
You will age around it, but your skin will not have that wrinkle at rest. So those people, like if you had a twin brother who did not do it, over time, his muscles would essentially crinkle the skin as normal people would, and that wrinkle would stay.
Yeah.
Even when you weren't smiling, that wrinkle would still be there. What Botox does is basically kind of softens the muscle, relaxes the muscle, so that that wrinkle is not as prominent or is not there.
Interesting. All right. Let's get this started here.
All right.
And while that's happening, Dr. Sherman is going to be injecting me with Botox in these marked up areas you can see on my face. I'll get a close up here, folks, on Facebook here. You can see I look like I have the measles all over, but those are actually where he's going to be injecting right now live on the show. And Janine, a lot of people walking in for multiple procedures, right? They're coming in for Botox at the same time, might be getting liposuction. And the reason being is because these techniques have gotten very advanced and less invasive in the body. Why don't you tell me about the, you know, the advances in liposuction while I get needles stuck in my head?
So there's liposuction is done not for, first of all, I should point out, not for weight loss purposes, but rather to sculpt different areas of the body. So when we have patients that come in that probably would be better served if they lost 20 or 30 pounds. That's not the ideal patient for liposuction. But if you have someone, for example, a mom after children, her belly gets a little bit big or her waist gets thicker or maybe develops saddlebags,
mm-hmm.
She's a perfect candidate. Another kind of patient is someone whose arms are maybe getting a little bit thicker. You can liposuction the arms.
Sure.
For a female, we talked about male gynecomastia. On a female, often what happens is we talk about a bra roll. It's a little pocket of fat that forms where the armpit meets the breast, and women are very self-conscious of that because they wear tops, you know, small tops in the summer. They don't want to have little bulges of fat where their bra
Yes, my wife doesn't have that, but when she did, she hated it.
Yeah.
And I know that's a big issue with women. And by the way, folks, I'm getting live Botox right now. Mm-hmm. It's pretty interesting. It doesn't really hurt as bad as you think. And there's people walking by the studio here on Michigan Ave, the Magnificent Mile, going, what is going on there? Yeah, go
it's
check it out.
Needle, right?
What's that, Dave?
It's a thin needle.
It's a thin needle. I mean, I feel a little poke, but it's not as bad as you would think. And if I can, you know, you can endure this kind of pain to look good. Mm-hmm. Why not? Listen, the Kardashians are doing it. Why shouldn't we all do it? You know, because the Kardashians are a staple of what, you know, good role models should be.
Yeah. In our practice, we like to have a natural look. So we don't actually, we don't encourage patients to get rid of every single line and wrinkle on their face because wrinkles are also part of the expressiveness of your face.
Sure.
So when you smile, a true smile does not come from the mouth. It comes from the eyes.
Yeah.
And so where you're getting Botox now around the eyes,
the crow's
feet. It will soften the crow's feet. But when you smile, your eyes will still light up. And that's really critical to having, you know, keeping that human expression in your face.
Yeah. How about the smile lines? Because, I mean, those don't bother me as much, but I know it bothers a lot of people. And you guys use, like, fillers for that stuff, right?
Fillers. These are called the nasolabial folds. And so when you look at the nasolabial folds on the face, this is actually a function of fat dropping from your cheeks down this way. And a good way to look at yourself is put a mirror down here. Whatever falls down, that's sort of where your fat loss or volume loss is occurring in your face. So usually when we assess for nasolabial folds, the first thing we're going to do is look at your cheekbones.
Yeah.
You may need a little bit of filler, depending if you're male or female, because you inject
them. Do you get a lot of men coming in for fillers now?
Probably 25, maybe 30%.
How about male lip injections? Are you getting any of that?
We do, but men don't ask for it that much, but I will suggest it.
Really?
Just a tiny bit. They don't need a lot of filler in their lip, but just a tiny bit so that the lip everts. Sometimes with men, here I'm going to date myself, but if I said it's the clutch cargo effect. They have no lip you know, their yeah. lips completely, they lose all the volume in their lips, especially by the time they're, you know, 40, 50, 60. And so putting a tiny bit in to volumize the lip will not give them big lips, but you'll know that they have lips instead of just a slit.
Right.
Men often hide it with a mustache, but some don't want to wear a don't want to, you know, have a mustache on their face. They would rather just have a more normal lip.
You know, it's funny as you say this, above you is a TV with the Oscars red carpet show on, and literally every single celebrity walking down that carpet has had one procedure or another, and you could see it.
Yeah.
Do you feel, and we have only a short amount of time, the number one procedure, what is today's number one procedure for, you know, people walking into your office?
Botox.
Botox. Because mm-hmm. it's affordable.
It's affordable.
It's relatively painless, folks. I mean, you're watching this happen right now.
The return on investment is huge because really not having wrinkles does many things. It's not just that it gets rid of the wrinkles. It does smooth the skin out. Mm-hmm. You don't develop etched in wrinkles, which is part of the aging process. So when yeah. you have etched in wrinkles on your face and around your eyes, that actually contributes to the appearance of, you know, looking older. And when you don't have that, that's a big part of a youthful appearance.
What I'll do is I'll post the before and after pictures from today. We do have to take a break here. The White Sox will be coming up straight at 2:30. I want to thank Dr. Stephen Sherber for joining us. Janine, thank you so much for being an intermediary host here. Oh, hi, Pam. Thanks for coming down and take a picture, too. I appreciate it. Yeah. Make sure you post it all over the place. It would be good.